It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Got a couple of things I need to talk to you about. First of all, your story on Hillary Clinton to testify about Benghazi before resigning. Is that a change of heart, or was that really the plan all along?
I think that was probably the plan all along. If you were to go back to the archives of our conversations a few weeks ago, I held to that idea that she was probably not trying to duck testifying. In the last few days, the State Department has been pretty adamant about saying that she will come up to Capitol Hill and testify. I think there's still some real questions on the table, though, because the conceivable committee that she would testify before would be the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
And John Kerry's committee.
Exactly. So that begs the question as to whether or not John Kerry would, the presumptive next Secretary of State, would be presiding over a hearing in which Hillary Clinton were testifying about security failures in Libya leading up to the September 11 terrorist attack there. I don't know whether that's going to happen yet. All we're getting out of the State Department is that there's negotiations and discussions going on with the staff and members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to resolve that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I had to predict, I would say that probably Robert Menendez, the senator from New Jersey,
right,
will replace Kerry as head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Barbara Boxer from California would have been next in line, but although I've reached out to her office today and not heard back yet, it seems like she's going to stay on as chairman of another committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, which would mean that Menendez would be head, and probably Menendez would preside then over both Kerry's confirmation hearing to become the next Secretary of State, and at some point in the next month you might see Hillary Clinton go up to the Hill and testify on Benghazi.
I gotcha. Back to her for just a second. Does she appear to be healthy now?
Well, yeah, that's the lie. I mean, there was a bit of a dog and pony show yesterday at the State Department where they were trying to say, you know, that she just looks great and she's in great health. So it seems like her health has returned. She's supposed to meet later this week on Thursday with President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan. He's coming to Washington to hammer out a discussion with the Obama administration about the upcoming U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. He will be at the State Department probably dining on Thursday with Hillary Clinton. I would expect that she'll make a public experience, a public showing at that time. They call it a camera spray. That's the Washington lingo. She'll come out and wave and probably make a few statements. That'll probably be the first time that the public gets to see her since she was hospitalized with a concussion and a blood clot a week and a half ago, which is apparently under control at this point without any long-term damage.
Right, and now she has a football helmet, right? all right, we just talked about John Kerry, and you have a new story just posted about Swift voters. They won't be organizing to block Kerry at the State Department, right?
Well, that's what I'm told by some of the folks who were the heads of that movement, an Admiral Hoffman. The Swift vote movement basically helped sink John Kerry's bid for the White House eight years ago. This is a group of former veterans that claimed that he had lied in order to win the various decorations that he won for combat in Vietnam himself. And there were questions kind of swirling when his name was floated to become Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State. There were questions among some in Washington about the extent to which the Swift boat Veterans for Truth might surge back into the spotlight and challenge him. I'm told that they had a conference call among something called the Steering Committee for the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, actually formally disbanded in 2008. But a group of them still keep in contact, and they had a vote on December 14th quietly amongst themselves, and they decided that, in fact, they were not going to publicly stand up against Kerry at this point. The reasoning for it is probably threefold. One is that the members have all aged 9 years since the last time that they really came out in public. That's one thing. So there's health issues with some of them. Another issue is that what they were really driving at 8 years ago was to block John Kerry from becoming the commander-in-chief of U.S. military forces. And really, it's only the president that does that. As Secretary of State, even as Secretary of Defense, he would not have that role. So they claim now that they're not, the momentum is not there to block him. Now, the last thing is more speculative, and it's purely that it's a lot harder to raise money to block a cabinet appointment in a second administration than it is to raise money to go after a controversial election year issue to try and block somebody's presidential bid. I don't think that they worried too much about money this time, but I think I'll be very surprised, and you should read the story, because I interviewed several people involved with the movement the last time, including Chris Lacevita, a political operative down in Virginia who worked with them, and Jerome Corsi, who's a conservative writer who actually co-authored the Unfit for Command book that the Swift voters put out 8 years ago. And the story really will explain how it's unlikely they're going to really make much of a stink this time around.
And the story is in the Washington Times right now, up at WashingtonTimes.com.
I believe it'll be in tomorrow's paper.
Right. It's on WashingtonTimes.com right now. It's called Swift Voters Won't Organize to Block Kerry at the State Department. All right. One final thing, just a note on Syria. I had noticed you had written the story, U.S. Dismisses Latest Overture from Syria's Assad. I guess my question is, facing international demands for his departure, he offered what?
Well, he came out and gave another long speech. It's actually the first one he's done in a while, but he used to be prone to this before the country really Syria devolved into an all-out civil war at this point. But he gave a speech this weekend and basically said, you know, he'd be open to negotiating reforms and talking about making changes. He just did not want to talk with anybody who was fighting against the regime. So that, you know, it was the kind of, the State Department called that out as just confusing rhetoric and more attempts by the Syrian president to sort of buy time in this war that he's fighting against rebel groups. I think what's also interesting about this, though, is that while the State Department jumped out to try and criticize Assad, there really wasn't anything new from the United States to change its kind of position of hanging out on the sidelines of this conflict and actually doing anything to, A, arm the various rebel groups that are fighting against the Assad government, or, B, push a little bit harder on others in the international community, specifically Russia and China, to stop blocking the United Nations from passing a Security Council resolution that would allow for a collective use of strategic force against the Assad government in the weeks or months ahead. That did not happen. Let me reiterate that. That's what did not come out of the State Department in response to Assad's speech.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate the update on all three stories. Have a great day, and thanks for joining me.
Andy, thanks for having me.
Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. 357, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.